This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Guys, I've told you many times about how my son John had lymphoma 11 years ago and how he had to go through a year of chemotherapy, of radiation. He had an operation to remove his spleen. It was a tough, tough year in our life. However, I don't think I have very often told you about what made that time something that really we grew through and really we found God's presence in. One thing that I haven't mentioned is the importance of our Christian community during that time. The believers in our life who were connected to us, who were committed to our well-being, who stood with us, who prayed for us, who were there for us, they made such a difference as we worked through that year of pain. We knew that they were there for us. In fact, I can't even imagine going through any kind of crisis without my community with me. And by the way, it's not just crises or challenges. It's going through all of life with the people in your life who care about you. Now, we're going to be looking today at the biblical rationale for Christian community in a moment. But I want you to know something. This idea of community is a well-established need even in secular research. In fact, in one of John Ortberg's books, he quotes an academic journal called The Journal of Happiness. How's that for a journal title? And what these guys do, they actually do scholarly research on just what makes human life flourish. And when researchers look at what separates happy people from a lot less happy people, you know what they find out? It's not money. It's not attractiveness. It's not, you could just put the list out there. It is one thing that separates happy people from less happy people. It's the presence somehow of rich, deep, joy-producing, life-changing, meaningful relationships. Now, by the way, we didn't need a journal to tell us that, did we? Okay. They probably spent $5 million on that study, okay? Well, we already knew it. We knew that, yeah, life is a lot richer when we have people in our lives to share it with. Now, we know that that network that we need in our lives makes life richer and fuller. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been talking about marching orders from God. That is just concrete, foundational commands that'll take us through this year, but not only through this year, through this time to come. And one of the things I've said is, man, if there was ever a time that we could neglect these, that time has passed. And that is especially true with what I'm going to be talking about today, this whole issue of community. So let's ask and answer a series of questions about this. And as we do that, my hope and prayer is that you will gain even a stronger conviction about this whole issue of Christian community. So what exactly is Christian community? We better define it. And I've talked about this a great deal over the years. But here's how I define Christian community. While every person at Lighthouse is a part of your church family, your Christian community consists of the people at Lighthouse with whom you are interdependent. Now, I'm not saying here, when I say interdependent, I just mean mutually dependent. In other words, the needs in your life, the demands in your life, and the sharing, go both ways. It isn't just one-sided. It's not that I'm dependent on you, not at all. It's that you can count on a group of people, and they, in turn, can count on you. In other words, you give access of your life to that group. So interdependence is all about just reciprocal relationships with others. As a matter of fact, guys, in other words, you give and you take. And by the way, there's no quicker way to make people run the opposite direction than meeting them and presenting a whole boatload of problems and then asking them to meet those problems and you giving them very little in return. Okay? That's a good way to have people run the opposite direction, generally. So what I'm talking about is community is a group of people who over time develop interdependence with each other. They share joys, sorrows. They share, they pray for each other. They do life together, and it goes both ways. Now, you can see this happening in a brand new church that formed on the day of Pentecost. We see it in Acts 20. Look what it says. Those who accepted his message, we're talking about the message of Peter, who spoke a salvation message to that group. They were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now here's God's church being formed on the day of Pentecost. And on day one, it's almost twice as big as Lighthouse is right now, 3,120 people. And so how do they handle that group of people? They know that the brothers and sisters who received Christ, they were their brothers and sisters, but they couldn't be interdependent with 3,000 people, right? There's no way it's going to work. So what do? They began to meet in homes, in smaller groups, and forming Christian community in just that way. Now, by the way, my point isn't that we all have to belong to a small group, though that's in general, that's a great thing to do. I'm not even saying that Americans in the 21st century are going to have to totally emulate what the first century church was doing, because, guys, we're a different culture, right? So it's only right that probably we'd be doing things a little bit differently. But what I am saying is there is a principle involved here, and the principle has to do with this word fellowship. You notice that it's used twice in these passages. And I want to talk then about this word fellowship because, man, it's so misunderstood. In fact, I stopped using the word fellowship a few years ago, because I just thought, man, when you say the word fellowship, people don't understand it. They think of it as far less than it is. It feels like a surface experience. Like I'm gonna go later on today and watch the Super Bowl and eat chips with my friends. That's fellowship. Well, guys, that might include fellowship, but that's not the definition of hanging with some people and watching some sports. The word fellowship actually comes from a Greek word, koinos, and it literally means common or having in common. In fact, it's even translated sometimes partnership or sharing. So guys, think about this. Fellowship is talking about mutual, interpersonal interaction where believers are sharing life in some way. And if you update that to the 21st century, how would we take it as believers? We would say that this certainly means, fellowship means having interdependent relationships where we're sharing our lives, we're sharing our resources, we're sharing experiences, we're sharing prayer, we're sharing support, thoughts, ideas, you name it. And that's what our community does. Now, we flourish best when we're connected with other people. That's the issue. And I'm not talking about being an extrovert. I know everybody knows I'm an extrovert. But you may be an introvert. You may be more interdirected. I'm not talking about being an extrovert. I'm talking simply about having reciprocal relationships. You support me, I support you. You pray for me, I pray for you. You urge me on to live for God, I urge you on to live for God. And what it looks like, mostly, what it looks like is just people hanging together, praying for each other, helping each other out, doing what it takes. What it looks like, I guess, a lot, it looks like friendship. And it looks like friendship that you develop over many, many years. Partnership through life. The Christian community that brothers and sisters develop over many years, it's partnership through life. That brings us to the second question. So what do you get out of Christian community? Now, we've already partially answered that. But you got to know, if Christian community is something that's for me, what is it that it provides for me? I'm going to tell you a story that I think will illustrate it. About a year ago, I did a funeral for a family in our church. A soldier had died in combat. His name was Ben Wise. Sergeant, first class, Ben Wise. He was Company A, 3rd Battalion, and 1st Special Forces Group. He was a Special Forces Army medic. And about a year ago, he died protecting the men of his unit and doing his job. And he was awarded, by the way, the Silver Star for doing that. One of the things that really impressed me at the funeral is meeting the guys of his unit and what they all said about Ben. It was obvious that when you heard these guys talk, they were saying this: we have each other's back. That Ben was the kind of guy who did what it took to look out for them and to help them and to encourage them and just to do whatever it took to make sure they accomplished the mission together. I tell you about Ben because what I think his unit's concern and care for each other, I think it's a fitting metaphor for what happens, man, in the Christian community. Now, I respect our military, and I don't want to suggest that Christians face physical danger like our soldiers do. But guys, all believers at Lighthouse do face life, right? And when you face life, you face joys, losses, ups and downs. And this mentality, we look out for each other. That's the essence of Christian community. We look out for each other. You say, well, Art, is that really our responsibility to do that? I mean, here's the answer. Yes, it is. And over, you know how I know? The reason I know is this. Over and over and over again in the New Testament, this phrase is used, one another or each other. And in fact, let me read you a selection of these one another scriptures, these each other scriptures. First Romans 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Then Colossians 3, 1, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Ephesians 4, be kind and compassionate to each other, forgiving one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Hebrews 10, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It's one of my favorite scriptures right there. And then finally, James 5, finally, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. So what does Christian community provide? There it is, love, teaching, counsel, forgiveness, encouragement, people to spur you on in the race, people to pray for you, people to listen to you, people to care about you. It's really what Christian community is all about. It's connection to other people. And without that, life really isn't very meaningful. Now, guys, I want to confess something. When I'm on the treadmill running, sometimes I get bored and I put on DVDs. And recently, I rewatched a film called About a Boy. Anybody seen About a Boy? Boy, I can't believe that. Okay, there we go. I thought I was just right in the mainstream there. No. Anyway, About a Boy is about a very self-centered character. His name is Will. And Will is a guy who it's all about him. His whole life is just parceled out in little increments of time he can spend on himself. He can exercise. He can get his hair cut. He can watch TV. It's all about him. And in the middle of this thing comes a boy, a 12-year-old boy that teaches him to care about other people. And in fact, midway through the film, he comes to a moment of insight, and here's what he says. He was all about island, he called it island living. You know, I'm just about me. Here's what he says in the middle. He realized, you know, I have a very full life. A very full life. It's just that it has no meaning. And you see, guys, think about it. Relationships are what give life meaning, first to God, but then to God's people. Now, notice with me that these one another scriptures cannot be fulfilled with 2,000 people. You know, think about it. Are you going to pray for 2,000 people? Are you going to encourage 2,000 people? Are you going to love 2,000 people? Can't happen. No way. Now, you can to some degree because we're all a part of this body, and so we generally love each other, etc. But when you need a word of encouragement, man, you want someone who knows you. When you want to get spurred on in the Christian walk, you want somebody who's there for you, who knows you. When you need prayer, you don't want to just call anybody. You want somebody who knows you. You know, last week, one of the families of Lighthouse needed some prayer. And so 4 or 5 people who were in their community, we gathered right over here after service, and we prayed for them. And we're continuing to pray for them. 11 years ago, Naomi and my family, we gathered over in this corner, and we had a circle, our community, come and pray for us, especially. Let me put it this way. There's a 1980s film called Ghostbusters. And if you're 21, if you're under 21, you should never watch that film. Okay? Just want to let you know that. This is for all the parents who are going, oh man, he just recommended Ghostbusters. I did not recommend it. I just said I watched it. Okay, now, what's the tagline on Ghostbusters? Do you know it? Who are you gonna call? There it is. Who are you gonna call? Absolutely. So here's my question. You just got the word that you have cancer. Right. You need some non-judgmental parenting advice. Right on. You have to make a decision. Who are you going to call? That's it. Who are you going to call? And if you can't figure out who you're going to call, that's a problem. And it can't just be the church. It can't just be the pastor. The pastors care about all the sheep. But guys, my hope and prayer is that who you'll call are the people who are in your community, the people who have your back, the people who are looking out for you. So guys, and if you don't have it, if you don't have anybody to call, here's what I know. Either you're new to the area and perhaps new to Lighthouse, or you have not taken time to establish your community. It's either one of those two things. Either you're new or you just haven't taken time. Now, some of you are saying, Art, I know who I would call. I would call my wife. Well, okay, that's good, because often your Christian community does include members of your family, and that's a good thing. You know, my wife, Naomi, is certainly the number one person in my Christian community. She's my sister in Christ as well as my wife. So she's number one. But you realize what you're going to say if you say, well, I'll talk to my wife? It means your community consists of one person, okay? So what happens if she's in trouble? Well, you got a problem. So, guys, that puts way too much pressure on that. So all I'm saying is, man, there's so many benefits when you take the time to establish your Christian community. Well, that brings us to a third question then is, you say, okay, I see the need. Okay, I see the benefits. But Art, what do I really do to establish my community? And I decided to make this message totally practical, okay? This is totally about what's real. So how do I establish my Christian community? First of all, guys, this is important. If community is a conviction, then take responsibility to establish community in your life. Take responsibility to make a plan. Take responsibility to do what's necessary. You know what happens with this issue of community? It's what happens to so many other commands that God gives us. We think of it as a preference rather than a conviction. Now think about this. Is there a difference between a preference and a conviction? A preference you can hold very strongly. You can have, you know, you can say, man, that's, I really, really prefer that. But what will happen? If the right circumstances come along, you'll change it, right? You'll say, well, if you get peer pressure, you know, I'd really prefer to do things this way. Oh, peer pressure, I'll change it. No big deal. Or, oh, there's some harm that will come if I stick to this. I guess I'll just change it. But a conviction is something that I keep to without change. That doesn't matter what the circumstances are. This is what I do. And so, you guys, my hope and prayer is that all of us at Lighthouse say, no. Community is not a preference, something I will do if it's convenient. It's a conviction in my life. Now, of course, there are seasons in our life where we're quite busy, and there are times in our lives when that community is less developed, but basically, it's got to be a conviction. It's my responsibility. I will do it. And if this is all true, then, man, take that responsibility. No one, guys, is anybody going to do this for you? No, they're not. There is no Christian community fairy that flies around and taps you on the shoulder with a wand and sprinkles community dust, and bam, you've got it. No, it's actually going to take you doing something. And so that brings us to number two. If this is a conviction, plan time for people and friendships. I know this is simple, but perhaps the command that is most direct about this is Hebrews 10. Look what it says. Let us give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Or let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See that phrase, let us not give up meeting together? That's pretty key. It says, take the time you need to connect with God and connect with each other. That is at the center of Christian community. And it doesn't just happen. Connectedness doesn't just happen. Now, I'm going to be upfront with you right now. On some level, I am lazy. Okay? And on some level, I like to chill more than put out any effort. And so here's what I have to do. Since I'm lazy, I have to schedule the stuff I want to do, so I will do that stuff. Does that make sense? So, my home, I have a home group that meets on a certain date. So what do? I get my date timer out, and I write home group. And when the date comes up, I look, home group, huh, time to go to home group. And then I go there. It works out so beautifully, you know? That's what lazy people have to do. They have to schedule it. And here's another confession. Sometimes when it's time for home group, here's what I think. Now, I don't know if any of you would ever relate to this. Probably not. Here's what I think. And I'm tired. I'm tired. I worked hard all day. What I'd really like to do is I'd like to get a cup of coffee right now, sit down on my nice, beautiful chair in my living room, and read my Kindle. Wouldn't that be beautiful? I just read, drink. Ah, life is good. But instead, it's on my day timer. I go. And guess what happens invariably after I go? I go, wow, that was good for me. It's good for the people I was with. This was positive. It deepened my community. It was a positive thing for me. So guys, some of you signed up for Group Connect to attend a group. Start attending it, okay? Put it on your day timer and then go. Why? Because maybe for you, that's part of developing the community that you need so badly. So planning, here's what you need to do. Plan time for people. Put community on your day timer. Does that make sense? Put community on your day timer. If you have a family or two that you relate to, say, hey, let's hang together on Sunday dinner. Or, you know, just put it on your calendar. And then when it comes, no matter what you feel like, you do it, okay? Because one thing I know, the downward pull in life is always constant. Is that not true? The downward pull. If it was up to us, we'd do nothing. Just living takes too much time and effort, okay? So, since the downward pull is constant, let's schedule something. Number three, keep experimenting with friendships until you have a group that you can relate to. Guys, I'm about to go into the realm of heresy here a little bit. Well, not heresy, but just things that are tough to talk about. One of the advantages of being in a church like Lighthouse is there's usually, it's so big that you should be able to find somebody that you relate to. Does that make sense? There's going to be enough people here where you can find those people. So what am I saying? It's okay to relate to some people and not to relate to other people, okay? That's okay. We're all like that. For me, I find it hard to relate to anybody who doesn't have a well-developed sense of humor. I mean, I can love them and like them, but they've got to smile once in a while, or I don't relate to them very much. So it's okay to meet a couple or meet a family or meet a person and say, oh, I don't really relate to this person. Because there are other people that you can develop a relationship with. So some of you might be asking, okay, Art, as I look for potential people who could be a part of my community, what am I really looking for? Well, first of all, just what I've said, people of like mind and heart. Isn't it true that we tend to invite people into our circle of relationship, people of like mind and heart? It may be the people of the same age or same profession or whatever, but often it isn't. It's just, man, our personalities connect. There's a little spark going on there, and we enjoy each other, and that's just fine. It's okay to have it go that way. Also, you would probably be looking for at least a few people in your Christian community who are spiritually mature. Now, obviously, we're all growing, so we in our circle are going to probably be less mature and more mature. But man, you better be looking for some people who know Jesus really well. Why? Because they're the people who can urge you on in your spiritual life. They're the people who can love you where you're at. They're the people who can put their arm around you when you're hurting, give you a big swift kick when you need it. Because, and they know that they're mature enough to know when each of those is needed. So probably you're going to need somebody like that. And here's one other thing that you should know. If you're just establishing community at Lighthouse, I'm going to give you some very practical advice. You are going to be most, if you're just relatively new at Lighthouse, you're going to be most successful in forming community when you look and talk to believers who are also relatively new at Lighthouse, relatively. People who have not been here for 20 years. Now, some very established person may be able to make room for you somewhere in their life. But especially if they really, you know, there's really a spark, there's really a connection. But it's less likely because, you know, it's just the way, it's just this social phenomenon. Let's suppose that every year you have 1,500 hours to spend on relationships. Well, guys, think about it. If someone has been in Puyallup for 30 years, those 1,500 hours are mostly, they're mostly gone, right? Because they're already a part of various circles. And in fact, remember that most of us have three circles of relationships, three circles. And in fact, I just named these circles, but, you know, they just made sense to me. First of all, you have an intimate circle, right? That's 6 to 8 people that are the closest people. Those are the people that you call first when something good happens and when something bad happens. They are the people that you know have your back. They're praying for you. There's an intimate circle there, and they're going to go out of their way to help you. But secondly, there's a close circle, and that's maybe 15, 20, 25 other people where, yeah, they're a good part of your friendships. You have some time with them. You think of them as friends. You love them, but you just have a little less time with them. And finally, there's something I just call a connected circle, and maybe you got 50, 60 other people, maybe totally there. In which, no, they're far more than acquaintances. You wouldn't call them an acquaintance. And yet, you may go a few months without talking to them. You may not be in their home. But they're friends. They're people that you count on. And you'd say, they're in my larger community. Guys, my point is, if you're new at Lighthouse, most people who've attended for a while, their intimate circle is full. So, now, there may be some room there, but probably it's full. You have to look for other people who are also relatively new or just unconnected. That also can be true. And that's who you try to develop relationship with. What my point is this. Keep meeting and interacting with people until you have those circles full. Stay assertive. And when that little spark goes off, you try to develop something if you can. You try to work with those people. Now, if you're new to Lighthouse, home groups are a good place to start. What you do is you go to a home group, and you see who you relate to. Some of you are going, well, what if I don't relate to anybody? Here's what you do. You leave the group and try to find people you do relate to. Now, how many home group leaders in the building here? Raise your hand if you're a home group leader. Okay. Here's what I want to say to all you home group leaders. Do not be offended if somebody comes to your group and then does not come to your group. Do not be offended at that. You didn't fail. It wasn't about you. It was somehow, they looked around, they thought, well, these aren't the people I can really relate to. And that's okay. And let's face it, being a part of a home group doesn't mean that you found your intimate circle. Right? It doesn't. In fact, I think it'd be rare for a home group to come together and say, well, these are my best friends. These are the people I turn to first. No. But wouldn't it be a great result if some of the people in your home group were part of your close circle? That'd be a good result, wouldn't it? It would. And even if you say, no, the people in my home group really are part of my connected circle, that'd be okay too. Why? It's still all a part of community. It's still, you're trying to put as many pieces of this thing together as you possibly can. So, man, it you know, the home groups play a vital part. Just don't expect them to be your intimate circle at all times, because they probably won't be. And it'd be rare if they are. Let me put it that way. Now, keep meeting and interacting with people. Let me say it again. Lighthouse is your church, but your Christian community are the people at Lighthouse with whom you're interdependent. And by the way, some of you even have parts of your intimate circle who are not a part of Lighthouse too. And that'd be just fine if they're believers. Now, here's my observation. Longer you're at Lighthouse, the bigger your circle will be. If your family is new to Lighthouse, listen, if you're new, if you can even find one family or one single person, or if you can just find a couple of elements, that will make all the difference. Don't try to think, oh, I need everything all at once. Just say, no, what I'm looking for now are the first elements of a community. And just keep developing those intimate circles, that close circle, that connected circle. Wow. Pretty soon your life is richer because of it. Final question. How do you maintain Christian community? Well, to a large degree, you maintain it the way you formed it. That is time and attention. Okay? But how do you use the time and attention? Well, so much could be said here. And I've already said a great deal, but let me just remind you of two or three things that will help you. First of all, plan activities together. If you want to develop community, you really have to have some time together. And that means, you know, in fact, I always say the fuel that runs the community engine is together time, okay? It really is. And that's how all friendships are maintained. You know, you have a couple families that you love, you just say, hey, let's go to the zoo together with our kids. Or you have a few people that you say, I relate to. Hey, let's get together and watch the football game or something. And then what happens during that time? You interact, you talk, you work together. So what you have to do is just assume planned activities. Number two, you give support. Now, guys, if you're going to maintain relationship, think about it. How many of you would say, in 2012, this last year, I had some amazing joys and I also had some sorrows? How many of you would say that? All of us. All of us. What did you need during the sorrows? What did you need during the joys? Support. And in fact, that's what Romans 15 says. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Mourn with those that mourn. And so what are you doing? You're communicating. Here's what's going on with me. Here's what's not so great, or here's what's joyful. And guess what? Then your friends come along and they empathize. That's what Romans 12 really, really says. Enter into the feelings of others. But you can't do it with 2,000 people. You do it with your circles. First in your intimate circle, close circle, and even your connected circle. You live out Romans 12, and when you do, you're supporting your community. And it means sharing the burdens. It means sharing the blessings. Guys, I want you to know, when my granddaughter was born 6 weeks ago, and by the way, her mother and her are here up in that room right in there. Hi, honey. Nice to see you. I'm a happy man. I think they're up there, unless they're in here. Are you in here? No, you're not. Okay, good. You're up there. Anyway, when that happened, guess what? My community was smiling right along with me. They were happy for me. They were supporting me and saying, hey, that is so great. Okay? So what does it mean? If you're hurting, it means they listen to you. It means they pray for you. It means they ask you about what's going on as the days progress. Guys, number three is something, if you're going to maintain community, number three is something that really is totally tied up with the first two things I talked about. But I'm going to say it a little different way. Give the members of your community access to your life. That is, you trust them enough to be vulnerable with them. You give them access when you tell them what's really going on. You give them access when you listen to what's really going on with them. And I'm not just talking about conversation, but it's a particular kind of conversation. Conversation that says, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm feeling, I'm being real with you. You know, you give access to your life. And you can also give access to your life, by the way, when you give permission for a member of your community to talk to you about stuff they see in your life. You know, when my son John was about 10 years old, I had a friend, member of my community come to me and say, you know, Art, here's what I've noticed about your parenting with John. And I'm wondering if it would be good if you would blank. Now, ask yourself a question. How, you say, that's pretty bold. Somebody just comes right in and starts talking about your parenting. Isn't that sacrosanct? Isn't that something that should never happen? No. Not if you give access to your life. How could he do it? I'd given him access to my life. He knew that if he talked to me, I would listen and hear him, and I would appreciate whatever was needed. I would appreciate him doing exactly what he did. Guys, we better give access to people in our lives, and if we don't, guess what? Our lives will be less rich. Our lives will be less full. Our lives will be less meaningful. All those things. Now, friends, when you answer these questions about Christian community, you know what you come up with? It's not an option. It's a necessity. It's a conviction. It's not something I can just say, well, you know, a little preference there, but I can just live my little life going home every night, watching TV, you know, just, I don't need anybody. Guys, I'm going to just tell you this. You cannot love, know, and serve God by yourself as well as you can love, know, and serve God in conjunction with other people. Just cannot happen. And it doesn't matter what age you are. Now, if you're a child or you're a teen, you're living in a family, and that family is your first community. That's great. But even as a teen, I would encourage you to develop a few other friendships that you say with people that love God and say, hey, these are part of my Christian community too. It's an important thing. And also, by the way, when you go to college, what will sustain you, teens? Yes, your family will be there. It'll be your Christian community that will help you still follow God as you go to college. It's so important. So important to your life. And guys, since it is, in just a moment, I want to pray about it. Some of you, your circles are full. Your circles are full. You're so happy. Some of you, you're developing them. But some of you are kind of lonely. You're going, oh, man, my community is almost empty. But wherever you're at, don't be overwhelmed. Sit, ask about, okay, God, what's the next step? What do you want me to do? Okay, yeah, my circles are full, but I'm neglecting them. Okay, schedule, okay? Okay, or some of you are going, man, I need to do more about even initiating meeting with people and figuring that out. I don't know what the next step is for you, but let's pray about it right now. Let's do it. Father, thank you so much. This is your idea, this whole idea of community. I know, Father, it's what you have for us. You want us to develop community over time. So, Lord, help us. For those who have been trying but not succeeding very well, help them not to give up. For those who are just beginning, open some doors for them. Father, for those who've been needy, maybe, and they haven't been concerned about giving, maybe that's their next step. I don't know what it would be, Lord, but would you give people the next step? Would you help them not only to connect with you, Lord, but connect with each other?
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org. Or contact us at 253-848-2028.